Vision then requires a vital connection to the source, which is God. In other words, if you're going to have the proper vision for your life, then you must stay purposefully connected to the source who gives you the vision and the purpose of life.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into the first part of a two-part series taken from a recent Wednesday night service here at Pace Assembly. This message is entitled Revision, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Your life is designed by God with a purpose and for a purpose, and only the manufacturer, only God, can tell you what your purpose is. I can't tell you what it is. Oh, Pastor, tell me what the will of God is for my life. I don't know what the will of God is for your life. You don't need a soothsayer. You don't need a horoscope reader. You don't need a palm reader. You need an encounter with God. Moses, first 40 years, there he is as the son of Pharaoh, and he's learning, whether he knows it or not, what is going to be necessary for him in the days ahead. But it won't be until another 40 years later before he gets to use the experience that he's had. But God was getting him designed and ready and prepared and educated. So then he winds up leaving and going 40 years into the desert. He gets out in the middle of the desert and he still doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He thinks he's a sheep herder at that point. He comes from being Pharaoh's son, goes into the wilderness without anything, on the run as a murderer, and thinks, I'll just be a shepherd for the rest of my life. And then all of a sudden, here he is at year 80. Come on, somebody. At year 80, he finally finds out what his purpose in life is to be. Here he is tending the sheep and doing what God's called him to do, and he looks up on the mountain and sees a bush that is on fire but's not consumed. And he says, I will turn aside. I'll set everything else that I'm doing aside and go see this sight. It's compelling me to come. Whatever's going on in that fiery bush, whatever's going on, I've got to turn aside from everything else that I'm doing and go find out what this bush and why it's on fire. When he gets there, he gets to hear the voice of God. The voice of God. Boy, it's a story. He gets to hear the voice of God, and the voice of God tells him through the explanation what he was born to do. I want you to go in and be the deliverer from my people and tell Pharaoh, your family, let my people go that they may worship me. And I'm going to put my anointing upon your life. This is what you were born for, Moses. This is what you're supposed to do. You go in the authority of my called purpose for your life. I'm not coming down there and burning the bush up in Egypt. You saw this. You saw this incredible sight. By the way, take your shoes off, Mo. You're standing on holy ground. I want to submit to you tonight, he wasn't taking his shoes off just because he was standing on holy ground. He was taking his shoes off so that God could let him experience the power of God, but God was going to get in his shoes and walk him right back into Pharaoh's house and by the purposeful call of God, command the people to be turned loose by Pharaoh. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a little bit intimidating, except for the fact that when you've got God on your side and you know you're doing the work of the Lord, you better go ahead and do what God's called you to do. Whatever that is, whatever that is. So Ecclesiastes, here's a few scriptures for you real quick. Ecclesiastes says, in Ecclesiastes 3:1, God's given everything a purpose. You go home and read the rest of that. It outlines it. Psalm 33:11, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. In other words, God's got a plan, and it's going to be carried out. So here we are, years down the line, and God finally finds a president that will stand up and declare Jerusalem to be the capital of the nation of Israel, and the plans of the Lord stand firm, just like God said. Boy, it's exciting to be alive right now, isn't it? Especially when you know Isaiah 14 and 24, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely I have planned. So God's a planner. I say God's a planner. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So it will be as I have purposed, so it will stand. Write it down. God created you with a purpose and put vision then into your heart. Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. He has made everything beautiful, mature in its time, and he's also set eternity in the hearts of men. Now, this is important for you to get a hold of. He set eternity in the hearts of men. He set your future, the vision, inside of your heart. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. What is he saying here? He's saying God, by his design and purpose in every one of us, has put a future inside of us that keeps us compelled and called moving forward. Are you following what I'm saying? So he puts vision inside of us. So write this down. Your purpose then is already completed in God and revealed then by the vision that he outlines. Now, I'm not talking about you've got to sit around and call up, you know, some ancestor to get a vision. That's not what I'm talking about. God puts, so you understand you are created by God. How many of you know that to be true? All right, so you're created by God and you understand you are created for a purpose. Okay, some of you know what that purpose is in your life. Some of you are walking and living and working in that capacity right now. Some of you just hold jobs, and then some of you are in your work. They can fire you from your job, but they can't fire you from your work. Because what you've been called to do, you've been called to do. And sometimes it takes a process for me to be able to get there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is important for you to know because everything that happens in the timing of the plan of God, just like I keep using this reference, but this waiver went in 70 years ago, but here we are 70 years later, and it's just now coming to pass for the nation of America and this proclamation. What's the big deal about that? The big deal is in God's perfect timing. When did Jesus come? In the fullness of time, God sent his son. Not 1 second before, not 1 second after. So he waited, for instance, until the Romans got together and said, let's pave some highways. What's the big deal about that? To speed the process of the gospel getting from one city to another, they paved the Roman roads. You got to understand that you're not just some protoplasmic blob of nothingness, but you were designed, created, and called by God, and he has placed the seed of your future on the inside of you. And that's what keeps waking you up at night and disturbing you from being in the status quo. It keeps calling you. It keeps telling you there's something more. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? See, you can't die until God is through with you. You got to keep marching on. And as long as there's something stirring on the inside of you, that's the reason why your vision, a God vision, should outlive the visionary. I'm going to say that again. Your God vision for you, for your life, for your family, for your church, should outlive the visionary. In other words, your children should still, and your children's children, should still be living out the vision that you imparted into their life, Jacob, when they were just small little children. You need to talk about who they are. They're not just anybody. Listen, this house belongs to God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, what about it, Granddaddy? Well, here's my Bible right here. Let me show you what my Bible, I've got your name written in my Bible right here, son. And I want you to know you're the son of this, and that's your name. And your name is not just anything, it's Samuel, because we named you after one of the prophets in the Bible because we believe there's something on your life. Come on now. And when you talk to your kids and talk to your family like that, you talk to your church like that, suddenly you're going to begin to see there's a stirring up of the vision, of the gift, of the desire to reach for something else. You better not die before you die. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't you die before you die. That's right. That's right. Isaiah 46 right here says, remember the former things? Those of long ago, I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. From ancient time, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand. I'll do what I please. So I don't care what Jordan and the Pope and everybody else is saying tonight. God said, that's my town. And I'm going to be watching over it tonight. Oh, my God. They just found a mosaic over there inside of the birthplace where they believe the birthplace of Jesus Christ is at that dates back to his particular time. I always have said that whenever the smart guys start doubting what's going on with the Bible and with God, God just blows his holy nose, knocks some sand off of something, and some archaeologist finds it and brings it out and says, looky here, looky here, we found the place. Come on, somebody. You can always expect right after that there'll always be some doubter or scoffer who just came out who was claiming that Jesus has had, more children and all that kind of stuff going on. There's always a skeptic. But ladies and gentlemen, if you'll stay with this book right here, the Bible said the Holy Spirit will not guide you to the lie. He will guide you into all truth. And God's truth for your life. That's the critical part. So purpose then is when you know. This is when you know you're, the purpose of this speaker is to give sound. I can't take that out to the Florida town and launch it and make a boat out of it because it's not a boat. I'll sink because that's not the purpose that the manufacturer, and the manufacturer was so detailed that he designed this speaker that it would only be able to receive so much power coming through it or it will abuse it and break it. Are you with me? Purpose is when you know and you understand what you were born to accomplish. Vision, then, is when you see it in your mind by faith. Have you got something that God is stirring in your spirit that you can see in your spirit, but you haven't seen it physically yet? Have you ever had a vision of your children, your unsaved children, walking down the aisle, giving their life to Jesus Christ, and you haven't yet seen it, but you believe it because you know and you know that you know that. Are you understand what I'm saying? Your loved ones getting saved, whoever it may be, whatever that may. I see myself getting blessed. Have you ever? Well, some of you have mistaken this. You've written it off to fate. But God's given you a vision of something, and here's the way it went. You were sleeping, and all of a sudden you had this dream, and it wasn't because you ate pizza the night before and all that kind of thing. And then weeks later, all of a sudden, boom, there you are, and you're standing in the middle of this. You say, wait a minute, I think. Do you understand to not read the dream, to not read the prophecy, to not understand that, is to have a mailbox full of mail that you've never picked up and opened up. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm waiting on an experience or a prophet to come by and say, thus saith the Lord. Because when I study the Word of God, and then a preacher preaches or a teacher teaches, or I'm reading the Word of God, and suddenly there's a rhema word that comes to me that is for me, and it begins to feed that thing, that vision, that purpose on the inside of my life. I don't have to wait around for the prayer team to come over and lay hands on me or the prophet to anoint me with oil. He's speaking to the thing that he's called me to do. Are you understand what I'm saying? Now, that thing may not necessarily happen tomorrow. But all he's doing is letting you see the end of the movie. He lets you see the end from the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? You've seen it. You've seen the end of the movie before. They start the movie at the end, and you see the whole, shoo, there it is, and the hero walks out of the smoke, and everything's great. You go, well, how did he do that? And then they take you all the way back to the beginning. And they let you see all the things that he has to walk through and all the trouble and all the difficulty. And you just know you're sitting on the edge of your seat sometime. Oh, I don't know if he's going to make it. Then you remember, wait a minute, I saw him come out at the end of the movie. He's all right. I just came to tell you tonight, if you'll stay with God, you're going to be all right. No matter what you have to walk through, there will not be smoke let on you. Come on, somebody. The hair of your head will not be singed. Stay with God, the purpose of God, and you'll accomplish the will of God. Say a good amen, somebody.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.